8 minutes after 4 o'clock here on Downtown. Well, our next guest is a Pulitzer Prize winner, the author of several books, including Team of Rivals, The Bully Pulpit, and her most recent, Leadership in Turbulent Times. She's also the executive producer of a three-part miniseries that premieres Sunday night on the History Channel, narrated by Jeff Daniels, called Washington. And we're very pleased to welcome Doris Kearns Goodwin back to Downtown.
Thank you. I'm glad to be with you again, too. Hello, hello.
We've talked with you in the past about how in your research for your many books, you live with these dead presidents, and you had not lived with the first president, the father of our country. What was that experience like these past 18 months or so?
Yeah, for such a long period of time, I knew that George Washington, the one whose presidency had set the standard for all the rest, was someone I really didn't know, like I knew Lincoln and Teddy Roosevelt and Franklin and LBJ. So I was thrilled when History asked me to be part of this miniseries as an executive producer, because I could learn at an accelerated pace by standing on the shoulders of all my fellow historians who would be in the interviews, and by working with the documents and the letters and with the actors who were going to be portraying George in part of the film. So now I feel like he's finally one of my guys. I've lived with him a certain period of time, and because it's a huge team thing and you collaborate with so many people, it can be done more quickly than when you're writing alone, which is the normal process.
Washington is, in many ways, almost a mythological character, thanks to people like Parson Weems. How do you cut through the legend to find the real George Washington?
Yeah, that's the real hope of the miniseries, is to present not the monument who we know he became, not the guy on the dollar bill, but rather a young person who goes through life and has adversity when he's 11 years old and his father dies and he doesn't get to go to formal schooling as his two half-brothers had done to London, who has to go really to work at that period of time, a young soldier who commits lots of errors and makes mistakes and is somebody who has to reflect on what went wrong. And finally, the arc of greatness is developed. It wasn't there at the start. And I think that's what makes him a human being. For like most of us, he'll do things that disappoint us. He'll do things that disappoint himself. And yet he's got an extraordinary strength that overcomes it in the long run.
What surprised you in your research into Washington?
I think what surprised me is that I hadn't really known about the overconfident, cocky young man who led his first mission at the age of 22, and he watched as he made such a serious mistake that what was really a peaceful mission coming from the French, he thought was an aggressive mission, and they fired on the mission coming over, and he actually killed, not he himself, but his people, killed the man who was carrying the document that said they wanted to have a peaceful ending to the struggles between the British and the French. So to have that be his first mission as a British soldier and have to overcome that was just a stunning experience to watch. And you think, oh, my God, he'll never go anywhere. But, of course, that's what happens when you learn from your mistakes and you mature and you grow as a leader.
He was such an American hero after the Revolution, a natural choice as first president. But as has happened with a number of subsequent presidents, his second term was a struggle at times for him.
Without a question. I mean, in the second term, then the unity that had held together his advisors in the first term, and that includes Hamilton and Jefferson, Madison, and all the people surrounding him who have begun to split on what should this government be. Hamilton and George Washington wanting a strong federal government which could collect taxes and keep the country together as a nation. Jefferson and Madison preferring more power in the states. Partisan newspapers develop. I mean, it's so similar to today in a certain sense. And there's a paper that's against what George Washington believes, a paper that's for him. And really bad things are said about each other in these papers, so much so that by the end of his second term, the main message that he leads to his fellow citizens is what he calls a farewell address, where he warns the country against the baneful effects of party spirit and of sectionalism and of revenge, and wants people to feel a sense of common connection as citizens. So, and that address is read. I didn't even know this. It's read every year in the Senate by an alternating Republican one year and Democrat the other year. It's 7,000 words. And you just wonder, have people really listening to that address, given what partisanship we're going through today?
We're talking with Doris Kearns Goodwin on Downtown Washington Begins, airing Sunday night on History. He established so many precedents as the first president of the United States. How important was his decision to walk away from the job after two terms?
Oh, I mean, aside from the ordinary precedents that he established, like even what the name should be, there were some who thought he should be called His Mightiness or, you know, the protectors of their liberties and what should he wear and what kind of dinner invitation should he accept. The most important thing was that he walked away after the two terms, that he decided to stay, and he could have for a third, fourth, fifth term until he died. That might have been the tradition that was established. But instead, he established something, as John Meacham says in the miniseries, even as revolutionary as the war itself, the revolutionary principle of a peaceful transition of power. And he went back home and sadly had only a couple, 2.5 years to enjoy that peacefulness at Mount Vernon, which he'd been looking to for so long during all those long years of war, when he only got home once to Mount Vernon in during that entire 6 or 8 years period.
Your last book was Leadership in Turbulent Times. What lessons from leadership can we learn from Washington?
Well, that's the thing. There's really a family resemblance of leadership traits in all these good leaders. I mean, the first is humility, which allows you to really acknowledge your weaknesses, acknowledge your errors, learn from your mistakes, surround yourself with people who can help you with your weaknesses. Empathy, I think, is absolutely critical, which is when Washington finally understands what the soldiers are going through. And even though he's had to forge them into an army early on, he shares in the limited rations. He's at Valley Forge for them, never leaves during that terrible winter, and begins to understand their point of view as well as his own. Resilience through adversity is shared by all my guys. And most importantly, an ambition for self becomes an ambition for something larger, for the greater good. And it's that transition, I think, that makes a good leader into a great leader. But what was really interesting is it's almost like a family tree of our presidents. And when I look at the ones that I've studied the most, for Lyndon Johnson, Franklin Roosevelt was his hero. He called him his political daddy. Franklin Roosevelt's hero was Teddy Roosevelt. He arced his career on Teddy Roosevelt. Teddy's hero was Abraham Lincoln, and Abraham Lincoln's hero was George Washington. So it's such a small, short country history. And to study these characters and the citizens who helped make them work, it's just been a joy to be able to add Washington to the group of guys that I knew.
And we're very excited, too, that another friend of our show, the wonderful Jeff Daniels, will be serving as the narrator.
He's terrific. His voice is exactly what you'd want, because there's narration in it that keeps the story going, that connects the bites for that are coming from the interviews, that connects the live action that you're going to see. And just to have that voice, he's got a certain kind of FDR quality to his voice where he's speaking to us. You feel like it's folksy talking to us and not, you know, sort of speaking from on high. So he could be talking to each individual and telling the story just as FDR did.
Doris, before we let you go, I have to veer away from Washington for a moment and ask you, with all that's happened in the last few weeks, can we Red Sox fans, and are you as excited about the coming season as you've been in recent years?
Oh, it's not a good feeling right now. But, you know, sometimes you feel great in spring and then it doesn't work out. And my hope is, history tells us, sometimes you feel terrible in spring and something pulls together. But it's not yet understandable what happened with Mookie Betts and why he was traded and the whole business with Houston Astros and our manager having been let go. It's an unsettling time for us Red Sox, but I get more mature. We've won those World Series in more in the 21st century than anyone else, and I take that now. As long as they have a good summer, I'll be happy.
Here we go. Doris, we thank you. As always, wonderful to talk with you. We look forward to Washington, a three-part miniseries beginning Sunday night on History. Thanks so much for coming back and visiting with us again.
Oh, Doris, Thanks for letting me talk about it. I'm really proud of it. I think they've done a wonderful job.